Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Coach Kathy, and you are in the How to Feel the Hard Stuff Without Eating call tonight. We are going to talk a little bit about emotions, talk a little bit about how you're feeling, why you want to eat when you feel what you're feeling. Whether or not you're wanting to avoid feelings by eating, all the things. But first, I want to teach just a little bit of a nervous system lesson. Some of you have heard this before, but I don't think you can ever hear it too often. Our nervous systems are always on alert. Corinne talks about this. She talks about how the cavemen wouldn't leave the cave until they, scanned around to make sure there weren't any tigers around, right? Well, we're not that much evolved over that. Our nervous systems are always scanning our surroundings for danger. They're always on the lookout for what's going wrong. So it's our job to teach ourselves when we feel safe. Now, what does that mean? There's two types of safety. There is empirical or environmental safety, meaning I am in my office at home with the door closed. The sun's out. I'm safe right here in my office. I'm safe in my car. I'm safe in my home. That is empirical safety. Most of us have that. Okay. Unless you are living in a war-torn country or you are under, a tornado threat or something like that, you are empirically, environmentally safe. But that doesn't mean you feel safe. So answer me in the chat. What do you think the feeling of safety is? I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I think. It's when I feel calm. It's when I feel grounded. It's when I'm settled. It's when I'm feeling good in my body. It's when, right, Shannon says, no fear. Perfect. There's not a lot of tension in my body. My body feels loose. Safe, feeling safe is something you can create by how you feel inside, or you can create it by what you think about. In control, relaxed, calm, sense of ease, right? That's all safety. Now let's nuance that for just a little bit. A warm feeling inside. Yes, I love warmth. Let's nuance that a little bit. What if you felt safe feeling some of these emotions that you want to run from? Right? Everybody feels safe when they're happy. Everybody feels safe when they're excited, when they're feeling affectionate or loved. But can you feel safe feeling sad? Can you feel safe feeling bored or lonely? You can. Okay. You can. All of that is within your ability to do if you will allow the feeling and if you'll think about it and feel it in your body and be okay with it being there. That's what safety feels like when it's wrapped around an emotion. It's pretty interesting. Now, how can you create safety? I talk about my five core pillars all the time. Okay. And what these are the basics of how to create this feeling of safety in your body. Just the basics. Okay. First one is sleep. Y'all, if you are getting your rest, it is much easier for you to find safety in your body. Much easier for you to find safety at home, for you to feel safe. If you are getting your rest, then your system is not on alert trying to figure out when you're going to get rest, how you're going to support the energy, and all that kind of stuff. Okay. So, number one is sleep. Number two is movement. I'm not talking about running half marathons. I'm not talking about climbing poles or, dance parties or anything like that. I'm talking about easy, gentle movement. Before I got on this call, I just stood behind my desk and stretched, moved my body. What that does is it improves your circulation, gets the nutrients to the outer regions of your body. And that feels safe. right? Your body feels good when you've got your circulation going. Now, if you want to get out and have a dance party, I'm all good with that. That's a great movement. You want to run, train for half marathon? No problem. It's just not necessary when it comes to making sure you're getting one of the five core pillars, okay? Number three is my favorite, sunshine. I combine number three and number two many times and take a short walk in the sunshine when I'm feeling upset or overwhelmed or lonely. I just get out and I feel that sunshine on my face, and it's like I take a deep breath. It's like, oh, yeah, that's where I'm supposed to be. So, sunshine. So, we've got sleep, moving, and sunshine. Number four is another easy one. It's nutrition. Okay. How does your body feel if all you eat all day is Oreos and ice cream? Kind of feels kind of yucky, right? Mine does. Mine does. Believe me, I've done it. Not recently, but in my past. But if you eat, fruits and vegetables, if you have some good protein, if you can still eat Oreos and ice cream, but if they're not the like core of your diet and the other stuff is, your body feels better, doesn't it? You have more energy. You poop. You just feel better in your body. Your body reacts better. It has more energy. So nutrition, water is part of this too. Nutrition is a big piece of creating safety within your body. It's also telling your body that you can give it the nutrients it needs. So it's not going to be asking you for rando stuff, right? It's not going to be sending up urges for weird stuff. Then the last one is connection. And connection is lots of different ways. You can connect with yourself in your journal, when you're walking in the sunshine and thinking about the things you want to think about. You can connect with your partner. I told Ken last night, I said, you know what, tonight I just need a hug. Can you give me a hug? And of course he's like, of course, because he's that guy. He hugs everybody. So connect with your partner, connect with a friend or an accountability group. Sometimes just talking it out, just having a conversation. You feel the love, right? Connection with a higher power. If you are a churchgoer like me, you might sit down in the sanctuary and just automatically feel a connection. And the last one is connection to nature. You know how good it feels when you walk through the grass in your bare feet? There's something about it. There's something about connection to nature as the primal beings that we are that creates safety for us. So that's what I want you to think about. And we'll talk about these as we coach tonight. We'll talk about these five core pillars and how you can integrate them into your life and how you can create safety using these five core pillars around feeling whatever emotion is going on for you. Sound good? All right. So, does anybody want to be coached tonight? I don't see any hands raised. So, if you want to get coached, you want to ask questions about your nervous system or about feeling your feelings or about the five core pillars, let's do it. Raise your hand. Let's do it. I'm gonna look through the chat while y'all are thinking about it. And it says, yeah, I feel better, but sometimes I ignore that and still listen to the other voices. Of course, that's an important, I'm glad you said that, Anna, because just because we practice creating safety, and just because we practice feeling our feelings instead of eating, doesn't mean the other voices aren't going to come up. Those voices, those thoughts that you've had in your head for all these years, they don't just disappear because you want them to. It's like your brain's got them on a Rolodex in the back there, and it just pulls them out randomly and says, oh, this one used to work right here to make us feel better. Let's try this again. Okay. But what happens when you practice safety is you start to hear the voices, and there's this little pause, and you have a chance to say, oh wait, does that really want to do right now? Or is that not what I want to do right now? Right? It slows everything down for you so that you can analyze and think about things. Make sense? Let us, I have a hand now. It's Anna. And Michelle, I see your question in there. It's sort of what I was talking about with the five core pillars. Why don't you raise your hand, if you don't mind, if you want to, and tell me what you mean about discuss practicing safety outside of the, is it something in addition to the five core pillars you want to know? I'd love to hear more about your question. Also, if you all have questions like that, you can use the Q&A because I'm going to close the chat since I'm going to get to coaching. Sound good? All right, Anna Elisa, I'm going to call you up. Get you on here.
Hello.
Hello.
I have never been coached
Uh-oh, I
before.
can't hear you.
Oh no. You can't hear me?
I
Can
wonder
you hear me now?
if I wonder if you can hear her? Oh wait, maybe it's me. Okay.
Can
It's
you
me.
hear
Hang
me?
on. Let me try something. Okay, now speak.
Can you hear me?
What have I done? What is going on here? Oh, I know what it is. Y'all are gonna laugh. I have my headphones plugged in. Sorry.
You hear me?
Now I can hear you. Could y'all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, I have been in OBS since April 2020, and I've never been coached, and I've been stuck for a long time. Like initially I lost some weight and then stayed, there, and then I gained some weight, lost a little bit of weight. Basically, I would say since then I'm down like 10 pounds. But that's like 5 years. So I also started coaching with Lisa, and she's amazing. But there's just something, I say it to her all the time, there's just like something that just stops me from wanting to make certain changes. And I know there's like I said, those voices are just so freaking loud. And they have been there for a long time, as you said. And so it's like really not easy to get rid of them or just shut them out. I'm not like, I just need to like, I know I have made little bitty changes, and Lisa will point them out to me where like I will think differently now with certain things, but I still just feel like I need to get over that mental hump. And I don't know,
Why do you think it's a mental hump?
as opposed to,
Well, I mean, what you're telling me sounds like all of us. We all have those voices,
right?
right? We all, give into them sometimes and not other times. Tell me why you think it's a hump. Why isn't it just normal? Why isn't it just what
I mean, I guess it's normal, but
feel like a hump to you?
I just not sure how to get past it.
Okay. What if you don't have to get past it? How about that?
Then what? I don't.
And I'm assuming we're talking about the voices, right? The
Yeah,
voices are
just
the
like,
hump.
yeah, the
They get to
voices are the
talk and you
hump.
get to do what you want anyway.
So you're saying ignore them.
Or ping pong them. Have you heard Corinne use that term lately?
No.
So, but let's have dialogue back and forth. You're going to be the voice, and I'm going to be the ping pong. Okay. All right.
I'm the hump then.
You're the what?
Am I like what I consider the hump?
Yep. You're the
Okay.
hump. Okay. So let's set the stage. Tell me when you are most likely to hear the voices.
When I'm avoiding doing like work or things that need to get done.
Okay. And do you eat?
Yeah.
You're avoiding? Okay. So you got this big project laid out on your desk and you don't want to do it. What's the voice say?
Oh, that looks yummy. Let's go to the cabinet or the fridge. Let's see what we can do to procrastinate.
Okay. So what if you answered that voice with something like, maybe I will in just a minute, but I'm going to figure out what my first step on this project is first. I don't have to do it. I just need to figure out the first step.
Delaying.
What does the voice say?
Well, current me would be like, oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, but the voice might be like, oh no, Anna. Oh
Right.
No. You're not going to take our snack away, are you? Because you know
Right.
What you do, right?
Right. I'm not necessarily hungry either.
Right.
Not.
So then you think back. It's almost like a conversation, right? You think back, I'm not taking the snack away. When we get hungry, we can eat. It's okay. Wonder what's really going on here. Okay. That's when you look just that a little bit deeper and say, why am I wanting to procrastinate this work?
So I would probably in the moment I'd be like, I just can't be bothered, or I could be tired and don't want to start that work, or
yeah, but what's wrong with doing the work?
Nothing's wrong. I actually enjoy my work, which is
right.
Yeah.
Would you rather be retired than work?
No.
Why not?
I mean, I enjoy my work. I don't know. I make children's accessories, so like it's fun.
So it's fun. So why do you think this hump exists then? You're making
I think
you're having fun, and yet you're over here going, I got to get over this hump because, you know.
Why does hump exist?
Mm-hmm.
So you mean besides avoiding my work, what else is happening?
Yeah, but it doesn't sound to me like you need to avoid your work.
Because I like my work.
Because you like your work.
But I'm still avoiding it.
This is how this can work for you. When you really think about what you're thinking about and you answer the questions and you create this conversation in your mind, you're like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. That old thought, that's a silly thing. I like my work.
And then I have no reason not to work. And then I would work and not go to the food.
Maybe. Sometimes it's also a decision to work and not go to the food. So you're having this little quandary in your head, this little thought in your head that, you know, it's too big. I'll probably procrastinate. I'm going to go get a snack. But on the other side, you're over here going, I really like my work. So maybe the chatterbox is over here going, we should have a snack and procrastinate. And this other part of you is like, thanks for your input. I think I'm going to go do my work because I actually kind of like it.
Okay. So I know there's thing. I know sometimes when Lisa will coach and she'll be like, so what? Like, so what if it says that or whatever it is? But I totally hear you and it makes so much sense. I guess I just hope that in the moment I can do it.
Here's the thing. And I think this is what Lisa is telling you too. So many of us hear those thoughts and think that they're true, think that they need to be acted on. Okay. Because we have a thought, I should get a snack. We just go get a snack. We just like fall in line. What we don't realize is we have these things called thought errors. Okay. And this is a classic example. You're not hungry, but your brain says, oh, it's 3 o'clock. We should have a snack. Why? We're not hungry. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's kind of like I call it a thought error. You can call it you can name it whatever you want. But when you question it, when you take just a second to question it, like this procrastination thought about work, when you really like work, then you realize, wait, that really doesn't have a whole lot of oomph to it because it's not even right. Why am I, you know, why I don't need to act on that thought. Because it's not really right. It's not really what I really think.
You're right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank
it's
you.
It's pretty crazy to think about, isn't it?
Yes. And it's just amazing, like, what your brain can do.
Well, no one ever taught us to question what we were thinking. No one ever taught us that. I'll never forget where I was standing in Corinne's house getting ready to podcast years ago when she told me, you know, not everything your brain tells you is true, right? And I was like, what? What kind of hoodoo is that? Are you sure? She's like, no. Can you hear? No. I was like, for real? He's like, yeah. Sometimes you just have thoughts that just don't need any other attention other than that was a good one.
Okay. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Right. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure you're with me here on this.
I am with you.
Okay. So what are you going to do next time? Next time you hear, we should have a thought. We should, and see, this is another important piece of this. When you practice ahead of time, you're giving your brain another option. So okay. This practice ahead of time will, you know, go back into you here into your brain for, and maybe it'll come back up next time this thought comes up. So when you're in the midst of work, and you have the urge to go get a snack and procrastinate working, what can you say to yourself?
I mean, I could tell you now what I would say. I would like to say, you're not hungry right now and you have work to do. Mm-hmm. Sit down and do it.
Maybe you could, yeah. Do you respond to that kind of tone?
Oh, you mean... I don't know.
You mean some people do. Some people need like super clear, you know, heavy direction. And some people are like, no, sweet pea, not right now. You're not hungry yet, but we can have something when we're hungry.
I think somewhere in between those two voices.
Yeah, probably okay. So. Probably so. Maybe not the sing songy thing. Let me ask you this now. Do you think thinking about what you're thinking about and looking for thought errors will help you over the weight loss hump?
Well, yeah, because it will stop me in my tracks instead of I choose to ignore it right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, here goes nothing.
All right. I'll leave you with one more little quote. One of my favorite things I like to say is we use awareness to initiate change. Now you're aware that sometimes what your brain tells you isn't worth the ink in this pen. Okay.
Well, I was supposed to go and work, and then I was sitting here on my laptop finishing something else. And then I looked at my calendar and I clicked on your link instead of going to work or going to the kitchen. So
it was supposed to happen.
I guess so. Happen. Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Still no hand, y'all. That was the only hand. Who else wants to talk to me tonight? I'm looking through the people's. I know Karen Brent's always got something to say, girl. She says, huh? Y'all want me to talk about the nervous system some more? I can talk about it. Or y'all can get coached. Oh, good, Angela. Let's see what you got. Are you there? Turn on the video.
I'm trying.
Okay. There you are.
I was wondering if it was meant to be or not.
It's meant to be, girl. It's got to be. You're the only one with your hand raised. Come on, people.
All right.
What you got tonight?
So I have been following you all probably since 2017 and recently joined back in January.
Awesome.
So I'm really excited about that. And so one of the things that I'm kind of latching on to was something that you talked about, and it was the five pillars. And I think my realization is that I'm definitely a nighttime eater. I'm that transition person. And for the first time, I had a little compassion for myself instead of just kind of fussing at myself for choosing that habit. I realized that maybe I'm not taking really good care of myself through the day, and I don't know how to practice other things to help me transition. So, I kind of reached out to coaches and was kind of looking for more direction, and they pointed me towards you. And so
Oh.
I've been trying to soak up as much as I can to kind of get as much information as possible. I have an opportunity to talk to you tonight, and so I thought I would come on here and just see what type of direction you can kind of encourage me with.
Okay. Tell me about the transition time. Tell me, what are you transitioning from into, and
Yeah.
why is it crazy though?
I'm an educator. I work at college level. And so I do that 3 days a week, and then I work in clinical practice one day a week. And so I drive each way about an hour. I enjoy what I do, but they can both be pretty demanding. And it's that typical, I've worked all day. I know I'm tired. I've identified that for sure. And I come home and second shift starts. And so I've identified that eating in the car for me, while I am truly hungry, like it's actual real hunger. It's not, I feel like I'm doing it out of an emotional, physical hunger, but I think emotionally there's something that is there. It's
Okay.
that, oh, I can finally sit down and eat while I am hungry. I can finally sit down and eat because I have an hour to drive. So then I'll get home and I cook dinner. I choose to cook dinner for my family. That's something I want to do. And so, but that is when the munches start. And a lot of times by the time, we all three will eat something different, and that's fine. I'm okay with that too. But by the time I've kind of got everything ready to go, I'll sometimes just eat whatever's left over, and it's just more out of it's exhaustion. I'm tired. I just would like to have, I'd like to sit down and have a meal and be done for the day. And then once I eat, I'm done. I don't have the nighttime snacking at all, but it's that window of time between hitting the car at like 5 until dinner is finished, like 7:30, that I'm blowing it out of the water. I have to be because I'm very, I'm sticking to my plan. I make a plan. It has good foods in it. I'm listening to hunger. I'm doing all those things, but there's something that's happening in the evening, and
Okay.
it is that transition time.
So I hear four different eating opportunities in the car, as you're fixing dinner, at dinner, and cleaning up dinner. Is that right?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's take them one by one. In the car at 5 o'clock, you're hungry, right?
Yes. Yes.
What are you eating?
Apple protein bar. I
Something
used to
you
have
had.
little peanut butter crackers. It was one thing I had, but I tried to, at least try to do something more nutritious as opposed to,
Both of them.
stop by the drive-through.
All right,
So that's a level up.
that's good news. That's a
Yeah.
really good level up,
Yeah.
especially if you're hungry.
Yeah.
After you finish, let's say peanut butter crackers. After you finish your peanut butter crackers, have you taken the edge off of hunger?
Yes.
Okay.
And I do feel better.
Okay.
It's like I know there's real hunger there. So I know that is a component of it.
All right. So now we're moving into the house. And we're getting ready to fix dinner. Why are you eating while you're fixing dinner?
It's the this is what I heard last week, and it resonated. And I think you said it. It's quiet. Nobody's bothering me. It's just me and the stove, I can finally just kind of, I'm cooking. I'll, turn on the radio and I'm listening to it. And it's just me and whatever I'm eating that night.
Okay.
And sometimes it's what I'm preparing, and sometimes it's something that I was going to plan anyway.
Yeah. So I used to do this. I don't know if you heard
Yeah,
me say this before. I used to get
I
a
did. And it
donuts
was like a light bulb
and put
with the
it right next.
Oreos.
Yeah. I would double stuff Oreos, y'all. One right at
Yeah.
even, I mean, a whole one at a time. Pop one in, probably
Yeah.
eight or 10, right? While I'm fixing dinner. It for me, that became a habit, and it became almost like a, I don't know, I glorified it as I deserve this because I've worked so hard
Yes.
and I'm still,
Yeah.
no, okay.
That resonates.
Right. That you did you listen to my call with Anna? Thought error. I don't deserve
Yeah.
Oreos because I've had a hard day.
Yeah.
What I
Yeah.
deserve is to treat myself kindly. I talked about on Sunday's call, I talked about the difference between work and self-care. I think sometimes we get this a little confused. When we're eating Oreos, we're thinking, ah, oh, this is what I need to relax, right? And maybe it is,
Yes.
but maybe there's something else you can do to relax. Like,
Yes.
you ever just sit and listen to the quiet while you're cooking?
I do. I
It's
have.
pretty
It,
awesome,
it's
isn't it?
not real quiet in my house, but
Yeah.
but I do try to. I think that was actually worse for me because I was it's not quiet. And so the TV's going, the dog's barking, you know. And so when this is new, and I think it's because of what I heard last week. I make sure I have music on, something I want to listen to kind of drown the rest of it out.
You can certainly do that. You can put music in your ears. I have a private
Yeah.
client I work with on that. I'm like, it totally, for some reason, when I put, that's why my headphones were plugged in, y'all.
Yeah.
Because I put y'all close in my ears, or I put music in my ears, and it really narrows my focus in so that I don't feel like I have to listen to the kids and the dog and the, try and read a recipe and cook my things and all that kind of stuff at one time. The music kind of,
Sorry, I forgot my dinner.
is it cooking?
Good. We're good.
Okay, good. The music
Okay.
brings me back, kind of centers me back into that quiet space that I need in order to focus on what it is I really want. Are you back with me?
Yes,
Okay.
I'm back.
Okay, good. Okay. So I think the prep time is just it's either a habit or an urge or a combination of the two that you can just tell yourself, no, tonight I'm going to try not eating until food is made.
Yes.
This sounds crazy. It may or may not work for you, but I want you to try it. Tell
Okay.
yourself, put your nose right in what you're cooking, not like in, but right over what you're cooking, and tell yourself, this is how I'm going to satisfy my senses. I'm going to smell all the deliciousness. You're going, nope, not for me. Oh, you might be too far from your
Out.
router. You're breaking up. Can you move closer to the house?
Yes.
Okay. So some that works for some people and it doesn't for others. All right. So, could satisfy one of the senses, or both, because you're watching it cook, you're smelling it. You're smelling it. All right, then
I will do
dinner.
that.
Okay.
Yes.
Dinner. Is it crazy town at dinner time? Like lots of things
No.
happening? Are you
No.
able to
Well, no.
pay attention to when you've hit enough?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can. And I try to, and I think part of it too is I'm having trouble identifying with, that what is enough, I guess I'm maintaining, because I'm having trouble. So now it's getting comfortable with redefining what that enough is and trying, it's almost going to be like starting over, I guess.
I don't
So,
know if it is or not, because you're stopping eating, right?
yes.
You're stopping eating. So
Yes.
there is th so when you finish your plate, I just want you to see, what's my body feel like?
Yeah.
Stomach's not growling. I'm probably pretty satisfied. May have eaten a couple bites too many, but that's okay. I'm still learning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I bet by the time you're finished dinner, are you usually overfull by the time you finish dinner?
It depends. I'll tell you when I am overfull. is when I've been grab a bite here, grab a bite there, get up and get this or that. And then I come back to it and then it's interrupted. And then before, and then when finally everybody's gone, the kitchen is quiet again, just me and my kitchen. And then that's when I start gleaning up the extras.
Okay.
And so, or maybe going past.
Right. So let's talk about the after dinner then when you're cleaning up the extras. Why are you doing that?
Well, and I've isolated it to a couple of thoughts. One is, so my daughter, it's the kid that, and this is going to, I don't know how this sounds, but I'm okay with it. She had chicken tenders, and I was like, ooh, I really wanted chicken tenders, but I want to make sure she gets the chicken tenders because I know she's going to eat them. I can eat whatever. I can eat whatever's there. It doesn't matter to me. Give her the chicken tenders. So she gets them, she doesn't eat them. And then I'm left over with, well, I kind of already had my dinner, but I really did want those chicken tenders. Maybe I should just go on and eat them because that's what I really wanted.
Okay. So
So
why do
that's
you
it.
keep them then instead of playing them for the next day?
I don't know. I never thought of that as being,
Or
I don't
why
know.
didn't
I got
you, if
haven't.
you really wanted chicken tenders, why didn't you fix them for yourself that night?
Maybe there's only three in the bag.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe there wasn't. And I think some of that comes from scarcity too, as a kid.
Yeah. Or, it could be some rando thought like, I don't know when I'll get these again, or she might eat
Yes.
next time, or something like that.
Yes. Yeah, that's part of it too, I think.
Yeah. So that becomes a situation where it's more of a probably, is there an emotion around it or is it a habit? What do you think?
Around eating the
The
leftovers.
chicken tender, yeah, the chicken tenders, for instance.
I'm going to say I think it's probably a habit.
Okay.
I
See,
think it's,
Brent always says habit eating is easier to fix than emotional eating. So this becomes
yeah.
easy, okay? This means a habit is basically a series of actions and you need to interrupt it. It's like a cycle of actions and you can just interrupt it. You can interrupt it with something you think or interrupt it with something you do or don't do. All right? So I've just given you all kinds of amazing thoughts where you can
Yes.
say, you know what? I'm gonna stick these in the fridge and have stick them in the air fryer tomorrow and they're gonna be perfect, exactly what I want.
Yeah.
Okay? Or you can say, chicken tenders are a dime a dozen. I can get them anytime. I don't have to have them tonight. I chose something else tonight, and that's okay. I can have them tomorrow. I can have them on Friday. I love me some chicken tenders about once a week for me. I'm going after some chicken tenders. So there's no scarcity for me because I know that when I'm ready for chicken tenders, I'm just going to plan them in.
Yeah. Yes.
The other thing, another thing you can tell yourself is, do you really want to eat off somebody else's plate? How old is your daughter?
She's 12.
12. You really want to
I
follow?
know she's got bugs and woolly worms.
I mean,
She's
I don't know. Does she wash her hands regularly? Where's she
she
been? Was
does.
she on the school
No.
bus? You know, did she,
100%. Yeah.
I
Yes.
think about that kind of stuff. I mean, not because I'm saying your daughter's dirty, but that works for
No.
me. I mean, when
Yeah.
I
I,
left at
yeah.
work, I would not eat because I didn't know the condition of the kitchens that they were, all that food was fixed.
Yes.
You know, that's
I
how I kept
agree.
myself from diving into potlucks. So I think about things like that after dinner. I also tell myself, I celebrate when I throw food away. Okay. Because
Yeah.
I know if it's going in the trash, it's not going in my pants.
Right.
And I don't want to wear extra chicken tenders around my waist or on my thigh.
Right.
Okay? I mean that's
Yes.
because I'm here to kind of manage all that, right?
Right. Yes.
So I really think for you, Angela, if you could clean up the prep time and the after time and just stick with the snack and the dinner, you would probably wiggle out of this stall that you're in, out of this maintenance that you're in.
Yeah.
And you do all of that But when that urge comes in and you start to feel that little agitation in your body because you really want,
Yes.
you really want, you do all that by creating safety. And those five core pillars, I know when
Yes.
you're standing at the stove, it's hard to get some sunshine, but you can put music in and move your body a little bit, right? You can take a few deep breaths, connect back to yourself and what your goals are and what you really want and whether or not you're hungry. Right. And you can tell
Right.
yourself this food that's on the stove right now is going to make me feel so much better than a stack of Oreos or my daughter's chicken tenders or whatever it is.
Right.
So, my suggestion to you is to do you make a plan every day? Do you
I
plan
do.
assessment every day? I want
Yes.
you to write down the five core pillars.
Okay.
Every day, write on your plan which one you used and where. And see if it
Okay.
can help you create a little safety around feeling the urge, around seeing the habit, and then remembering what your ultimate goal really is. And it's not to wear chicken tenders around your
No.
waist or
Right.
Oreos or whatever the food of choice might be.
Right. Okay.
Does
I'll
that
do
help?
that. I like homework.
Does that help?
Yes, very
Okay.
much. Thank you.
So
I
maybe
appreciate
in
it.
a week. This is Tuesday, maybe the first of next week. Go into Ask Coaches and tell me, write to me and tell me how you use the five core pillars as your homework and some
Yes,
accountability
ma'am.
about that. Okay.
I like it. That's what I like. That sounds good. I appreciate it so much.
You're
Have
very
a good
welcome.
evening.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye.
Diane, you are next. I love breaking down eating. Love it. I'm not kidding y'all. Stack of Oreos. I used to do it every night. Because nobody come in the kitchen to help me cook. My boys were home. Nobody was like, "Hey, mom, can I help?" They're all waiting to be called to dinner. So I had the kitchen to myself. Could eat as many Oreos as I wanted. Then of course, I'd go ahead and eat a full dinner too. It's no wonder I had to lose 80 pounds, right? Hello, Diane.
Hey.
You, oh, I can hear you.
Well, I'm walking on my treadmill, as you can see.
Love it. Movement.
Yes.
What you got?
So there's a number of things that I wanted to ask because I've been like all over the board. First of all, what are the five core pillars?
We have sleep. Movement, sunshine, nutrition, and connection. And what these things do is help you create a real sense of calm, safety, settled feeling in your body. It helps keep your nervous system nice and regulated so that your thinking brain is always in charge.
So what's the connection? What would be, I mean, I realize the other four,
Okay.
but what?
So when you get, let's say you get like super nervous, okay? You're worried about something that's you, I don't know. I used my sister-in-law yesterday. She had a mammogram, and she's waiting, waiting, waiting on that report, waiting on a report, more report. She gets the report. It says come back for a diagnostic mammogram. So she starts to get anxious and nervous. What if? What if I'm doing this? What if I'm doing this? What if I, what if I have to go back? What if I have to have biopsy? Blah, 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 blah. So she's rising above home base. She's adding energy and feeling a lot of nervous energy in her body. Okay. And a lot of people, when they get that nervous energy in their body, start to eat to feel better. Okay. The five core pillars are those things you can do in a moment to re-regulate yourself without eating. So you might not go take a nap, but you might rest your body or you might rest your mind. Moving can help reduce some of that energy. Sunshine can help reduce some of that energy. Talking to a friend can help reduce some of that energy and kind of reground you and settle you back down. Make sense?
Okay. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because I do a lot of that when I feel frustrated. I know what to do, either get busy doing something or
go take a walk or,
It's actually, it's actually not meant as a distraction from the problem. It's meant to settle you down, settle your mood in back into a like a safety or a calm state so that you can make good decisions, so that you're not reactive, so you can make more intentional decisions.
Okay. Well, since I've been with NoBS, which I think I've been here since 2023, I'm not really sure. I know that I'm not a nighttime eater anymore.
Good.
I'm not an emotional, and I shouldn't say I'm not an emotional eater, but I really am focused when I think that I'm going to be eating when I'm emotional. I think I've gotten a grasp on a lot of things since I've been with NoBS, in my mind. So I'm listening to the first person. So we should probably have a thought ready for when we think something, like, I'm going to go get those Oreos, right?
Exactly. Especially if you know that that's your habit, or that something has happened that's going to create the urge for you to eat emotionally. Like,
Well, my habit is when my husband breaks out the popcorn or whatever, I tend to, oh, I think I'll have some with him, and I know that that's not the answer, because
So
generally
when
I
he,
can go ahead.
I'm sorry. So when he breaks out the popcorn, what can you tell yourself? What can you ask yourself or tell yourself?
I can ask myself, do I want popcorn? And do, is it on my plan? And am I going to stop at enough if I start eating some of that popcorn?
Yeah. How about, am I hungry?
Right. Yeah. Am I
Now
hungry?
the time for Diane to have popcorn? Is it, or is it the time for a husband to have popcorn?
Yeah. My husband is a big time snacker. And I look at, can't even remember how to express this, but are you a rebel? Are you, the types of eater that you are? And I think to myself, I think he's all of them, because, and I get frustrated. And so I know that that's his choice. And when he's ready, he'll be ready, but
That's yeah, and
so,
that's all you can do really
right. Yeah.
is make sure you're separating your eating habits from his eating habits.
Okay, so now what's the difference between an urge and a craving, or is there a difference?
I like to think of it an urge as something is triggered by a habit a lot of times, or triggered by an emotion.
Okay.
It's a suggestion to eat. And you may or may not be hungry. Okay.
Okay.
A craving can be an urge, but if you're craving something like potatoes or broccoli, it might be your system sending up a signal that it needs whatever is in the potato or the broccoli.
Oh, okay.
If you're craving candy, that's probably not your body sending up a signal that it needs candy. That's probably more like an urge.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yep, makes plenty of
So,
sense.
yeah, I try not to confuse, a craving for junk food with a real craving for like a nutrient. Like, you ever had the thought, man, a good steak would be good.
Yes.
That might be your body saying, I really need some good healthy protein right now. But if it's if your brain is if you get a suggestion like, boy, you know what, a Snicker bar would be good, that's probably more of an urge rather than a craving.
Yeah, I find when I get that kind of craving or urge, then I don't stop. Yesterday is a prime example. I bought some dried apricots. Okay, so one or two, it was just for a snack in the afternoon, and then before I know it's 6, and then it's 8. So I'm like,
So why
oh,
did you keep eating them?
because they tasted so good.
Okay.
They were so nice and fresh, and they're not always available in the store. So.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they can't go back in the bag and into the pantry. Here's the thing. When you're eating them right now and satisfying that, immediate desire, you're not thinking about the long-term desire of weight loss or maintenance.
Right.
Right? You're solely focused on what can I have right now rather than, if I put these up and have them over time, not only will I enjoy them more, I probably won't wear them in my pants.
Right.
Right? Because I've overeaten them.
Right.
Make sense?
So if yes, so if I were to on my plan, suppose I'd like to have something after dinner, just kind of to finish off the meal. I'm not finished. Not right after the meal, usually when I sit down to watch TV. So if I put on my plan, it's okay, right? But I have to be hungry to eat it, right?
Or it needs to be part of your dinner. I often tell
Oh.
people if you want to plan dessert, stop before you're at enough for dinner so dessert takes you to enough.
Okay, well, I've done that before too. I've told my husband, he's like, aren't you going to eat? I go, no, I'm right at enough and I want to have enough room to have that strawberry pie. No, so.
You might even stop a few bites before enough, so strawberry pie takes you to enough.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yep,
Then
makes.
after, if you're a nighttime eater, if you're an 8 o'clock eater, you really need to check that. And why am I an 8 o'clock eater, a nighttime, after dinner eater? Because I'm really not hungry. What's driving that urge to eat? Am I lonely? Am I bored? Am I upset? Is it a habit? That kind of thing. Okay.
Well, I do know that my husband's gone a lot. He's involved in a lot of activities. And so I have stopped myself because I've felt lonely and I was turning to food, so I wouldn't feel that. So to fill that void. So I've really
Did
been
food
able
fill
to,
the void?
pardon me?
Were you still lonely when you finished eating?
Yeah, because I'm still by myself. So,
So what
but
did, tell
now
me this. Tell me this, Diane. What does the loneliness mean?
gosh, I don't know.
It means you like your husband,
Oh, well, yeah,
right?
that
It means you miss his companionship,
right.
right? So when you're ditching the loneliness for a bag of dried apricots or whatever the food of choice is that night, you're not thinking about him. You're kind of dismissing him too. You're dismissing the loneliness and you're dismissing the affection you have for your husband. You're not thinking about any of it except the apricots.
Okay.
Right?
That makes sense.
Yeah. So what's wrong with being a little lonely?
Nothing, I guess. I mean, there are times that, of course, as women, we want that lonely time at that time to ourselves. I was thinking about MJ and talking about fixing her coffee the night before. That's a form of self-care. But for me, when I usually, after our morning routine, then I usually like go in and fix lunch or fix dinner. And I thought, this is self-care to me because I know that when we're ready to eat, it's already done. And there's a calmness that comes on,
Yeah.
there's a calmness there.
So when you're lonely at night because your husband's gone, what kind of self-care can you use instead of eating?
Typically, I do my nails.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
Perfect,
I
because you're
do.
using your hands and you don't want to dig into bags when you got wet nails, right?
Well, yeah, but first of all, with these type of press, I don't know what they're called, but anyway, Color Street, you can't do anything for an hour, like go take a shower or wash your hands. So, yeah.
Perfect.
So.
I tend to wrap up in a warm blanket. There's something about having a blanket around me that feels like I'm giving myself a hug.
I do that and then I immediately want to fall asleep.
Then you, if you want to fall asleep, you might need rest, right?
Yes,
Sleep
true.
not
Yeah,
important.
because
Rest
yeah,
is
we get up early and we're on the go quite a bit. We get up and we pray and we read the Bible and and we go to the gym and yeah, and then it's 11 o'clock. So, yeah, let's go, 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 go. So, well, I thank you very much, Kathy.
Welcome.
I've been trying to get on these calls at 3 o'clock. I've set a timer today so that I could get here and listen at least.
Yeah, so. I'm glad you did. And I'm glad you asked your questions. I hope you got some more clarity.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
All right. Okay, there's a couple things in the Q&A. Let's check those out. I feel like I have uncovered what keeps me deflecting my feelings and turning to food, but I also feel like I can't change the circumstance or come up with better thoughts about it. I'm sort of stuck in a life situation. I made a choice, but I'm disappointed that I did at the same time. Do you have any advice to sort of resign yourself to a choice that has been made so I can stop eating over it? Gosh, Anonymous. So let's see if I can talk about this in more generic terms like you did. You made a decision. You decided what was best for you. It might not be ideal, but you showed up for yourself. So I think what I would do is one of the things you can do to create safety, put your hand on your heart, press in just a little bit, maybe both hands, and tell yourself, it's going to be okay. I know I made this choice. It kind of sucks, but I was looking out for myself. Eating doesn't solve how I feel. Eating only postpones it because it's going to come right back. And right now, I just want to sit and be okay with my choice. I think that's what I would do. There's a concept called pause plus permission, where when you feel the urge to eat, you take a pause. You tell yourself, if I can't settle myself, if I can't make my nervous system feel just a little bit better, I can have a snack, but for 5 minutes, I'm going to try just taking a deep breath, telling myself some lush, loving things, and creating a little safety around my new circumstances. Okay? If that's not enough, I want you to write to me and ask coaches and give me more information so I can help you. Okay? All right. Cheryl says, traveling for the first time since joining NoBS. Appreciate any tips to feel safe. Same thing, Cheryl. I mean, I would take, if you get really anxious in the car or upset on a plane, I would take deep breaths, like breathe in to maybe a 6, hold at the top, and out to an 8, longer audible breaths out. What that will do is when you hum, when you sing, when you speak, when you exhale and use your vocal cords, it actually tickles your vagus nerve, which helps you rest and digest. It helps you feel safety. The vagus nerve is very, very important to us. It runs from our brainstem all the way down to our pelvic floor. So it runs all the nerve systems within your body. And if you can improve how the vagus nerve helps you rest and digest by humming, singing, talking, breathing, like breathing out like that, then you're going to actually settle your nervous system. There's a little biology lesson for you. So for you, Cheryl, deep breathing, like when you get real anxious, you get real choppy with your breath. Make sure you're breathing nice and deep, way down into your belly and then out as long as you can. And telling yourself, I'm in a safe place. It's going to be okay. I can feel better about this trip. You know, I have my seatbelt on. There's an airbag in my car. Whatever it is that that you can pull in that is a safety feature around you can also help. Okay. All right. Anything else, anybody tonight? Well, I appreciate you all being here. I hope this was helpful. If you have, you know, any questions at all, take them to Ask Coaches. And of course we are always around in the Facebook group too. So have a good evening, and I will see you soon. Bye.